I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough.
I used to want to save the world. This beautiful place. But the closer you get, the more you see the great darkness within. This the hard way, a long, long time ago.
What is your mission?
To stop the war.
What war?
The war to end all wars. Weapons far deadlier than you can ever imagine.
The war can be ours.
Whoever you are in more danger than you think.
I cannot stand by while innocent lives are lost.
This is Bro on the World Film Beat. Today we're breaking glass on the subject of Wonder Woman and Pure Entertainment. Pure Entertainment is the handle of one Twitter hashtag about the film, which is now on its way to grossing $600 million worldwide. It's being hailed by critics as an unmitigated triumph. A feminist anti-war fable about equality both on the battlefield and in the superhero genre? That's how the film is being billed. Would that it were truly so, and that in the world of late capitalism it was possible to concoct something called pure entertainment. Unfortunately, in the world we live in, that is hardly the case, and the film equally can be read as a pro-war extravaganza that enlists and subverts its feminist cause in the service of a colonial project that unfortunately brings many of the evils and aggression of capitalism to the forefront of the superhero genre. Let's give credit where credit is due. This is a memorable intervention into a genre, a superhero film, which has up to this point been entirely male focused. So that when women intervene in, say, the pretty good Marvel series Agent Carter on ABC, which is basically a women's channel, and that series canceled after two seasons, they originated spin-offs of a male series, as Carter was spun off from Captain America. Diana, Princess of the Amazons, brought up in an all-female world, the one in which she has a black nanny who is called her teacher, relates that in her reading of ancient texts, she has learned that, quote, men are essential for procreation, but when it comes to pleasure, unnecessary, giving the lie to Christian dogma, which for so long forbid women's pleasure. On the battlefield, Diana is a marvel, a low-key shot stressing her prowess as she destroys the World War I Germans, looking a lot like World War II Nazis, to an anthem that in the DC comic universe previously had only resounded for its male heroes. Unfortunately, not everyone is cheering. Lebanon, still officially at war after Israel's invasion in 2006, its fifth invasion of the country, has banned the film, and Jordan and Tunisia are trying to figure out whether to follow suit. It starred Gail Godot, who in the film fits that ultimate Hollywood moniker, fresh-faced, and who seems innocent in the film, served in the Israeli army around the time of one of its bloodier 2004 interventions into the Gaza Strip. Unlike some Israeli voices of peace, detailed in Amos Gutai's new film, West of the Jordan River, Godot, a military trainer in the army, came out more gung-ho than when she entered and claimed she traded on her weapons use in the army to secure a role in the Fast and Furious franchise. Most notoriously, at the time of the 2014 Israeli invasion of the Gaza Strip, which in comic book terms, given the might and the money behind that army, is a little like Superman versus Bambi, as Palestinian women and children were being slaughtered, she posted on Facebook, "I'm sending my love and prayers to my fellow Israeli citizens. risking their lives protecting my country. We shall overcome. Godot's Diana is revealed in her full splendor as Wonder Woman, the first time we see the costume in its entirety, as she takes the battlefield against the Germans. She is surprised at any lack of equality for women, as when she tells the secretary of the American spy she has befriended, who says her job is to go where he tells me to go and do what he tells me to do, that where she comes from, that is called slavery. Indeed, in the Israeli army, where the real Godot merges with the cinematic Diana, there is female equality with mandatory military service for women, such that by 2011, 33% of all the army and an astounding 51% of officers were women, while the 2000 law granted women equality in serving. This is echoed in the film with the opening sequence of the Amazon's warrior training, with this all-female island seemingly engaged in nothing but battle, and claiming this preoccupation is for its own self-defense. Not only Godot, but all the Amazons seem to speak with an Israeli accent, which fosters the claim that the Israeli army itself, perhaps the most aggressive army in the world in terms of invasions of its neighbors' territories, acts out of self-defense, as both societies seem devoted to warfare. It's a country which, being awarded $38 million, or after being awarded $38 million in arms aid by Obama, the largest military aid deal in history, criticized the award as too little. The feminism in Wonder Woman seems to be a very battle-ready one, and as individual male aggression accelerates in more warlike and broken societies, this makes a certain amount of sense. But the film utterly jettisons the idea that a feminist intervention might stand for pacifism and a way of compelling men to put down their weapons. Diana half-heartedly stands for peace, but even she concludes by the end of the film that, quote, ending war and bringing peace to mankind is impossible, so I stay and fight. This may be the reality of the uneven world that capitalism has created, but if so, it's a fairly depressing one. In a midpoint scene, Diana unwittingly scrambles into an all-male British parliamentary war debate and is ushered out, the point seeming to be not that war is wrong, but that women should be included in war-making. If one of the feel-good stories of late capitalism, where inequality is surging, is supposedly women's rights, here that platform is refashioned to simply be the right to die on the battlefield, a misdirection for the movement, and somewhat akin to the African-American deception and being co-opted by the military in 1948, in a way that led to a cleavage in that community, where it's necessary to continually raise consciousness over the role of an imperial army in maintaining global order and killing one's brothers. Now we can add killing one's sisters as well. The male side of the film, involving the spy Steve Trevor, has him enlisting a band of minorities to fight, an Arab, a Native American, and a Scotsman, all enrolled under the banner of the white patron and risking themselves for him. There's also an interesting way in which the Marvel and DC universes intersect. Trevor's act of heroism at the end of the film is very close to Steve Rogers' act in the Marvel Universe in defeating the Nazi Baron Zemo in Captain America. As the two corporations collide in parallel universes, distinguished with their lack of imagination. In Captain America's male-oriented origin, though, ultimately the frozen Captain America returns to life while all those around him die. Here, Diana, the woman, is the one living and looking back on fallen comrades. That change may be minuscule, though, and one way I praise the success of Wonder Woman as scoring a badly needed victory for a franchise under siege, an attempt to enlist us to root for Warner Brothers DC, which through its generally inept films and characters has played second fiddle to Disney Marvel. It's a bit hard to call a multi-million dollar conglomeration an underdog, but perhaps that's what an underdog has come to in the era of all companies melding into one, with the other Amazon about to move into produce distribution after buying Whole Foods. Finally, there is the ultimate reveal of the villain, not the German, Nazi-like, and later in reality actual Nazi, General Ludendorff, but the genteel Britisher, whose civilized ways conceals the demon and god of war, Ares. This is an accurate description of the British Empire, which has continued to make colonial mischief after the Nazis were long gone. But in the film, the implication has glided over in favor of a simple reveal and is obliterated with the special effects barrage that follows. In the context of the 24/7 warlike nature of the film, Wonder Woman's answer to Ares, humans are everything you say but so much more, sounds simply like a rationale and plea for understanding the atrocities of the Israeli army, and indeed for the sustaining of capitalist and colonial continual wars of dispossession, of which this film, unfortunately, rather than being pure entertainment, is more than just lightly engaged in boosting. This is Bro on the World Film Beat, Breaking Glass.
Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book, to be published in 2018, is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes jazzistiques et artistiques à notre écoute.